Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, who is Jesus Christ? I think there's no greater subject that we can discuss, especially at this time of the year, than to ask that question, who is Jesus Christ? But in comparison, we're doing a comparison and a contrast of Jesus and Muhammad, of Jesus and Muhammad. I think this is so vital in today's society, where our governmental officials are allowing the schools to teach Islam in the classroom, where you find the political move today in Washington in the Beltway, where you have we have today Islamic jihadist U.S. House of Representative members and in the Senate, where we have credits being given to those that hate the Jew and are anti-Semitic and those that despise the Constitution and against the United States government. And yet we allow them to be elected and sworn into office. And as they're sworn in with their hand on the Quran. And ladies and gentlemen, it's an impossibility for a Muslim to be a good Muslim and a good American citizen. It's an impossibility. We'll talk about that at the latter portion of this broadcast today. But if we think about, ladies and gentlemen, who is Muhammad, let me just simply say again to set the stage for this second portion of this broadcast today, Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. Islam presents the false prophet of Muhammad. He is simply, ladies and gentlemen, Muhammad is not sinless. He's not perfect. He did not write the Quran, as Muslims tell you that he did. He is not sinless, as they tell you. He's just simply an individual, a fallen human individual, a mere sinful man that, according to his own testimony, given to his wife after he had visited and had a long stay in the caves, he said, "The demons have been talking with me," end quote. I believe I have a caller on the line. Go over the question and comment, please.
Yes, excellent, Brother Young. But I left something off from what I called previously. You know, the two major forms of Islam, Sunni and Shiitism, and their subdivisions. One of them is the Alawite in Syria, and I'm sure you're aware of that.
Yes.
And so I heard it said Sunni, Alawite for the Shiite to hit the fan. And I'll leave on that note. Thank you.
Well, it is... one of the things that I've said for years and years and years, when we get to the issue, for example, of Iraq and the tension that we've given it for years of trying to bring about peace, only that'll ever happen if you divide it into three segments, the ones of the Wahhabists, the Sunni, and the Shia, and Iraq is the only way you'll ever have anything that would even be associated with the word peace. It's an impossibility. Each one hates the other. Each one's warring against the other. And each one has a different bent on what they say in relationship to the Quran. The Sunni, perhaps, are the worst from the standpoint of what you'd call radicalization, if you want to use that term, because there's an absolute animus and hatred for the other parts of the Islamic culture, as well as for all of Christianity and for all of Judaism. We're talking about today, and I believe it is very, very imperative that we as Christians understand and not embrace any form or fashion of Islam. And not listen, ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand, I'm not saying that we need to hate the Muslim person. We need to love them. God loves them. Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his rich red royal blood, which is sufficient and efficacious even to a Muslim if they say yes to Jesus Christ. That's not the point. The point is that that's not what is taking place. That's not the point of the conversation with the battle that's taking place on a global basis. And you must keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, that the demographers have told us that by the year 2050, and we're at the year 2020, at the year 2050, United States of America will be dominated and controlled by Islam. And very frankly, I believe it will be far sooner than that based on the pace that we're seeing the transition take place in America today. But ladies and gentlemen, let me just go through, and I have worked up a comparison and contrast chart that's before me that I believe we need to understand before we get to the major, broader portion of this broadcast and the discussion thereof today. And this chart that I have worked up that is before me today, have on the left Muhammad and on the right Jesus Christ. On the left, Muhammad is a creature. Jesus Christ is the creator. There's a vast difference. So you can't compare and say that Jesus Christ is just a prophet, just like Muhammad. You can't compare Jesus Christ with Muhammad. It's like, say, you can compare yourself with Jesus Christ. God says, "Be ye holy as I'm holy." And certainly as we analyze the life of Muhammad, he was far from holy. He's simply a creature Jesus Christ is creator. When you look in the Bible at Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and then you compare that with Colossians 1:13 through 18, says that Jesus Christ created everything that's in heaven and below the heavens, everything that's on earth and beneath the earth, and everything that is and in its existence today and in the past. I'm paraphrasing, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus Christ created it all. He is the creator-controller. You look at verse 17 and 18 in Colossians 1. He is what I call the divine superglue. Jesus Christ is the one that holds this whole universe together. And yet, the Islamic world will tell you that Muhammad was equal to Jesus Christ. Just like we have God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son, their approach is, without calling it that, there is Allah and then there is Muhammad. Muhammad is his prophet. Then we look at, understand, ladies and gentlemen, who is Muhammad? Muhammad is simply a man. Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. Muhammad is a man. We'll look at the text in the surah a little later in this broadcast and show you how Muhammad even believed that he was a sinner. And yet Muslims will tell you today that he was a sinless man, that he was a perfect man. And they have believed the demonic lie, and they are absolutely far and left field. That indicates and validates in my mind when they say that, that they do not even know the Quran themselves, that they hold in their hand if they have one, and they hold it up and believe it. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that's not recognized, understood, or promulgated in the thought process in the dialogue and the debate about Islam and about Christianity and about the Bible and the Quran, the fact is that 88%, that's the number, 88% of Islamics on a global basis are absolutely illiterate. They cannot read or write. 88% do not know what the Quran says. They've never read the Quran. They simply believe what the imam tells them in the mosque. And ladies and gentlemen, let's just do a little comparison and contrast today for just a moment before we go further with our comparison and contrast of Jesus and Muhammad. The overwhelming majority of Christians today do not read the Bible, have not read the Bible. All they know, all they believe is what the preacher tells them. If the pastor preacher in the pulpit is wrong theologically, doctrinally, and biblically, then you have a whole society that's wrong theologically, doctrinally, and biblically, because Christians are not Berean Christians. Berean Christians, according to Acts the 17th chapter, would search the scripture to see if it be so. What would be so? What the Apostle Paul and the others are teaching and preaching. They'd search the scripture and say, Paul, let me see what God's word says, and they'd search the scripture. Today we have anemic, illiterate, unlearned, so-called Christians that do not know what the word of God says, and as a result of that, they can easily be persuaded to believe the devil's lie and to embrace Islam and the Islamic teaching. And this is the reason it is so dangerous in our schools and in our classrooms that we have the teachers having training sessions where we have training sessions for the teachers, teaching them how to teach Islam. The overwhelming majority of our textbooks today, ladies and gentlemen, are the publishing houses owned and operated with the general editorial board coming out of the Islamic world, and multitudes today, ladies and gentlemen, more and more being also out of the LGBTQ and Planned Parenthood community. How can you expect any education for our children in the public classroom with that kind of educational process? Muhammad is a creature. Jesus is creator. Muhammad is man. Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. Muhammad is dead. Jesus Christ died, was buried, rose again, and lives on high today. Ladies and gentlemen, Muhammad is a liar. It's called being able to tell a lie, deceive. Deception is a part and parcel of the Quran. It is the fact that Islamics teach that it's okay to lie if it is for Allah's cause. Jesus Christ is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus is truth. And ladies and gentlemen, Muhammad robbed and pillaged. Jesus never robbed. Muhammad healed no one. Jesus Christ healed many. Muhammad had demons. Jesus banned the demons and banished the demons, called out the demons, and destroyed the demons. Muhammad was a pedophile. Jesus is high, holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. Jesus Christ is pure because he is God. And by the way, you go to the scripture and find that Jesus is God throughout the scripture. Jesus Christ is called God in Hebrews 1:8 and John 1:18. Jesus Christ is called the Son of God, Matthew 8:29, Matthew 16:16-17. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm just going to give you a few verses of scripture. There's a whole litany of verses of scripture with each of these statements. Jesus Christ is called the Lord, Luke 2:11 and Acts 4:33 and Acts 9:17 and 16:31. Jesus is called the Holy One, Acts 3:14, which compares to Hosea 11:9. Hosea 11:9, the Holy One is speaking of God. And Acts 3:14, the Holy One is speaking of Jesus Christ. Jesus is called the first and the last. Jesus is called the Alpha and the Omega in Revelation 1:7 and Revelation 1:17. And in, I believe it's in Revelation 22 also. But ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. He's eternal. He's immutable. He's impeccable. He is holy because he is God. And yet we have the audacity of those today that are trying to say that Jesus Christ and Muhammad are the same and Jesus Christ and Muhammad are equal. Jesus Christ is God. Muhammad had 12 wives. Jesus Christ never married. Muhammad had no miracles, and Jesus Christ performed miracle after miracle after miracle throughout the New Testament. Ladies and gentlemen, we're comparing Jesus and Muhammad. Muhammad was a sinner, and Jesus is the one that forgives sin. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, I want to read you an elongated segment from my book. The title of the book is Islam Tolerant. If you're edification for those that are not familiar with this book, 25 chapters. It covers things like Islam and Allah, Islam and Quran, Islam and abrogation, Islam and the Holy Bible, Islam and deception, Islam and Muhammad the sinner. We'll read some of that in a moment. Islam and Jesus Christ, Islam and the crucifixion, Islam and Mary, Islam and salvation, Islam and hell, Islam and the Trinity, Islam and Jews, Islam and the sword, Islam and women, Islam and polygamy, Islam and human rights, Islam and liberty, Islam and tolerance, Islam and martyrdom, Islam and jihad, Islam and Christian friends, Islam and dialogue, etc., etc., etc. Ladies and gentlemen, every aspect that you could think of in comparison and contrast to who is, what is Islam and who is Jesus, who is God, etc. But there are those, ladies and gentlemen, in fact, every Muslim you talk with, if he's an Orthodox Muslim, if he reads the Quran, if he believes the Quran, he will tell you that Islam, that Muhammad was a perfect man, that he did not sin. But ladies and gentlemen, that's not what the writings about Islam and Muhammad says. Let me just read you on page 73 in my book, Islam and Muhammad the Sinner. Islam says and believes that Muhammad was not a sinner, but when you look at the sinner in Islam, we must look at the life and the teachings of Muhammad. Further in the article in this book, page 73, chapter 6, when we examine the prayers expressed by Muhammad, we can understand the depth of the sin that he knew that was in his life. He asked Allah's forgiveness, but Allah can't forgive sins, his past and present sins, because he knows that as a normal man, he's going to sin. It's inevitable. He does not make light of his sins. Speaking of Muhammad now, he realizes that he is a sinner and is filthy in the eyes of God himself. And of course, the Quran says Allah. However, he confesses his sins to a false god. That false god's name is Allah. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a set of writings called the Hadith, H-A-D-I-T-H. The Hadith is translated from the Arabic into English with the parallel reading in the Hadith. There's 9 volumes today in the published volumes. I have all 9 of the volumes, 9 volumes, and each of the volumes covers a different title. And what's called the Bukhari, B-U-K-H-A-R-I, Bukhari, 8:335. This is where Muhammad confesses his sins. He says, I acknowledge and confess you, speaking to Allah. Pray as one can forgive sins except you. Forgive my mistakes, those that I do intentionally or out of my ignorance or with or without seriousness. Allah, forgive my sins and my ignorance. Forgive my sins of the future, which I did openly or secretly. Forgive the wrong that I have done jokingly or seriously. I seek your protection from all evil that I have done. Wash away my sins and cleanse my heart from all my sins with a white garment as from the filth. And let there be long distance between me and my sins, as you made the east and the west far from each other. Ladies and gentlemen, that's in Bukhari 8:335. And it's out of the Hadith being the musings and sayings of Muhammad. And ladies and gentlemen, he confesses he's a sinner. He's praying for his sins to be forgiven, but he's praying to the wrong God. And Allah cannot forgive sin. Allah is simply the moon god of the Bedouins of that day. And then in Bukhari 8:407, oh, my Lord, forgive my sins and my ignorance and my exceeding the limits, boundaries of my righteousness and the deeds that you know better than I. Oh, Allah, forgive my mistakes, those that I do intentionally out of my ignorance or without, or with or without seriousness. And I confess all such mistakes done by me. Allah, forgive me. Bukhari 8:408. Forgive my mistakes and my ignorance, and let my exceedings be limited in my boundaries and my righteousness. Forgive all my deeds and whatsoever you know that is better for me. Allah, forgive the wrong that I've done jokingly or seriously. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm reading to you from the Hadith, Bukhari 8:335 and 8:407 and 8:408. And those are the musings and sayings of Muhammad. Those are codified in what's called a Hadith. And it is where I'm pointing out to you, ladies and gentlemen, that Muhammad was a sinner. He realized he was a sinner. He realized that he needed his sins forgiven, but he prayed for forgiveness to the wrong God. He prayed to the God called Allah, which is the moon god of the Bedouins of that day. And they couldn't, Allah could not forgive sin then, and Allah cannot forgive sin today. Only God, the creator, controller of the universe, the God of the Bible, is the only one that can forgive sin. And Jesus Christ is God, come in the flesh, according to John chapter 1, verse 18, that he might exegete, reveal, show forth, make known God to man. Ladies and gentlemen, Muhammad was a sinner, and Jesus Christ is the one that forgives sin. Muhammad was a murderer. Jesus Christ never murdered. Muhammad hated, and yet Jesus Christ is love and the epitome of love. Muhammad never sacrificed himself for others, but Jesus Christ became the sin sacrifice on Calvary's cross for sinners that's willing to confess sin and submit and surrender our lives under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Muhammad saved no one, but Jesus died on the cross, was buried, rose again on the third day, that whosoever will may come unto him for salvation. Yes, Jesus Christ is God, come in the flesh, and Jesus Christ is the one that can save men from their sins. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me commend Jesus Christ to you today. If you've never said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, perhaps today is the day. Perhaps now is the time that you can say yes to Jesus Christ, not to Muhammad, not to Allah, not believing the false gods of the Bedouin era and of the Islamic world of 1.8 billion people around the globe today, but saying yes to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ can forgive sins. Jesus Christ shed his rich red royal blood for your sins and for mine, that we could say yes to him as Savior and as Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, in Matthew 7, verses 15 through 17 in particular, the unit of thought begins with verse 13 and goes through verse 23. But in Matthew 7, 15 and following, Jesus warns to beware of false prophets and false teachers that come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. That is, they are deadly, they are destructive, they are dangerous, and they are deceptive, ladies and gentlemen. Today's news should show each of us where we're going in America. Online news. France closing 160 mosques in radical Islam crackdown. France is planning to shut down 160 mosques in an effort to crack down on radical Islam, according to one of the country's leading imams. And they started right after the November 13th Paris attack. They started checking the mosque, going into the mosque, closing the mosque down. And some people say that's a dangerous practice. But ladies and gentlemen, if we know the enemy is within, if we know who the enemy is, if we know how to find the enemy, why not destroy the enemy before the enemy destroys us as the United States of America in particular? Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says telling Muslim kids they're meant to die as martyrs is clearly child abuse. Dateline December the 14th, 2019. Children under the Palestinian Authority are regularly told that they're meant for martyrdom. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, 3 days before President Barack Hussein Obama, the Islamic president that we had in the White House, just 3 days before Barack Hussein Obama left office, he secretly, quietly, without fanfare, sent $221 million of taxpayers' money from American taxpayers to support the Islamic jihadist in the Palestinian Authority. This article says, and it's a story time for the Muslim Islamic jihadist mothers. My son, we were not created for happiness. In my eyes, you're meant for martyrdom. Our weapon is Islam. Our ammunition is our children, end quote. Further, the poem tells Palestinian children, quote, why they are to die as martyrs. They are merely the ammunition for Islam, the cannon fodder with which to liberate and conquer Jerusalem, end quote. In the story of a mother that tells her son, who had been expecting a toy but received a gun instead, quote, Jerusalem is ours. Our weapon is our Islam. Our only ammunition is our children. And you, oh my son, are meant for martyrdom. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know of anything that could be read that would be have any greater sadness than to read that article and understand that that's what Muslim mothers are telling their sons. Ladies and gentlemen, I have before me a pretty voluminous article. Time will not allow me to broadcast it. But it talks about the Islamic's plan to conquer America in 20 years. That was their 20-year plan. The 20-year plan, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, was flushed out, brought to the forefront back in 2003. We're now approaching 2020. And so, ladies and gentlemen, with the 20-year plan for Islam to control America, to dominate America, this article says a refugee from the Middle East thinks he has discovered the Islamic's 20-year plan for conquering the United States by 2020. Quote, the following is my analysis of the Islamic invasion of America, the agenda of Islamics, and the visible methods to take America by the year 2020. It's written by Anish Shiroh, S-H-O-R-R-O-H, Anish Shiroh. And he says, will Americans continue to sleep through the invasion as they did when they were attacked in 9-11? Terminate America's freedom of speech by replacing it with statewide and nationwide hate crime bills. That's plan number one. Hear me. Terminate America's freedom of speech by replacing it with a statewide and nationwide hate crime bills. Number two, wage war on words using black leaders like Louis Farrakhan, Jesse Jackson, and others, other visible religious personalities who promote Islam as the religion of African Americans while insisting Christianity is for whites only. Goes further to state, Arab Muslims who captured them and sold them as slaves. In fact, the Arabic word for black and slave is the same, abid. Number three, engage the American public in dialogue, discussions, debate in colleges and universities and public libraries and radios and TVs, churches and mosques on various Islamic subjects. Proclaim how it is historically another religion, like only another religion like Judaism and Christianity with the same monotheistic faith. Ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what Rick Warren is doing on a national and international basis today. Rick Warren is saying that Islam and Christianity are sister religions. Islam is being allowed to come into the pulpits and have their call to prayer by the imams from the pulpit of Rick Warren's church, Saddleback Community Church in California. And that's exactly what we see. Number four, this article says, nominate Muslim sympathizers to political office to bring about favorable legislation toward Islam and support potential sympathizers by block voting. Five, take control of as much of Hollywood and the press and radio and TV and the internet as possible by buying related corporations and then controlling the stock and promoting Islam through that. And I could go on and on and on. Ladies and gentlemen, there's 20 points there. And I think you understand the bent, the direction that it's going in. We're fast-tracking the approach for Islam to dominate and control the United States of America even as we speak today. It is a sad state of affairs when you find that the propaganda is being taught in our public schools. Here's an article from the Thomas More Law Center that is uncovered in Ann Arbor, Michigan. The Thomas More Law Center, a national nonprofit public interest law firm in Ann Arbor, Michigan, has uncovered evidence a well-orchestrated Islamic propaganda campaign aimed at teachers in schools than the school systems throughout Michigan and several other states in the United States of America. We found that the teachers were being subjected to two-day Islamic propaganda seminars where Islam is glorified, Christianity is disparaged, and America is bashed, and all funded by the taxpayer dollars going through the Islamic program. Ladies and gentlemen, we must understand, we're living in the dark days and desperate times. I'm not a doom and gloomist, but I want us to understand the need for us to wake up and understand that the Bible is God's word. The Bible is truth. The Bible should be the source of where we go and what we read and what we study. For the lamp unto our feet, the light unto our pathways, that we would allow the Bible, the word of God, to teach and to direct us in every life's experience across the nation and around the globe today. There is a need to understand the difference between Muhammad and Jesus Christ. Islam does not worship the true God. Islam is a false God, a false worship. Islam rejects the deity of Jesus Christ. Islam rejects Jesus Christ's crucifixion. In fact, in Islam, they say that Jesus was just a prophet. He's just a man. He is not deity. He is not God. Islam says that the Christians' belief that Jesus was crucified, Islam says that the Christians took a look-alike, one that looked like Jesus, put him on the cross so that they could be looked at as a martyrdom Christianity, and that Jesus Christ was never crucified. Islam rejects and ridicules the Christian Bible. In fact, I could go, if time would allow, to the back of the Islamic Quran, the Noble Quran. The last 25 pages in the Noble Quran takes verse after verse after verse from the New Testament, and they print it and then go back and ridicule it, mock it, and take it apart and tell you it's fabricated and it's false. They ridicule the Christian Bible. Islam rejects Jesus Christ as God's son. Islam teaches that Muhammad is a prophet and Jesus Christ is a prophet only like Muhammad himself. Islam teaches that Allah is God, and Allah is not God, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you dare let anybody tell you the word Allah and the word God is the same. Allah is not God. Allah is not the creator, controller of the universe. Islam says that Jesus will return in the last days. Listen to this very carefully. Islam says that Jesus Christ will return at the last of the last days and will stand side by side, hand in hand with Muhammad, and will lead the whole world to submit and surrender to Allah and Islam as their religion. Islam is very, very dangerous. Islam is demonic. Islam and Muhammad are demon-possessed pedophiles and cannot be trusted any way, shape, or form. Can a good Muslim be a good American? Theologically, no, because his allegiance is to Allah. Can he be a good Muslim and be a good American? Religiously, no, because there's no religion that's accepted other than Allah in the Quran. Scripturally, no, because his allegiance is to the five pillars of Islam and the Quran. Ladies and gentlemen, simply suffice it to say in these closing seconds, Islam is false, phony, and fake. Muhammad is not a prophet. Muhammad is not equal to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. Worship him today as Savior and as Lord. Thank you for joining us in this broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as we face the issue.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.